Good evening. This is Elaine Ireland. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Isn't that exciting? And this evening, something even more exciting, I have Linda Drake with me. She is an author, a psychic, and a healer. Her wonderful book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, Death, Grief, and Communicating with Loved Ones and Spirits, has been out on the market about how long now, Linda?
About 6 months.
Gosh, it seems like it's just been yesterday that you've been on your whirlwind book signing tours and all kinds of things. Goodness gracious. It's a book all about exactly that, death, grief, and communicating with loved ones in spirit. How did you come to write this book, Linda? How did you come to put it together?
Well, I'm a life path healer. I work with spirit. I was spirit chosen and spirit trained. And a big portion of our work is working with people that are dealing with challenges in their life. And often the challenges are around the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, or the loss of a career. So spirit announced one day that I was trying to heal the world one person at a time, and they wanted their messages put in a book so it could be read by the masses.
How long did it take you to put this book together?
Well, when Spirit finally convinced me to sit down and do the writing, it took us about 2 months to write the book. But in that two-month period, I wrote three books. I just didn't realize we were working on three books until we completed it and they started breaking it up into the individual books, because all of the books were about healing.
And when is the next one coming out?
Well, we're negotiating with the publisher at this time, and so we're hoping to have it out by this time next year.
Not any sooner? We can't make a move any sooner?
Well, we're going to try. We're hoping that because of the popularity of this book and how it has taken off and received such a great reception, that we're hoping that that will influence the publisher to speed it up a bit.
This book concentrates mostly on death and grief and communicating. Folks, it's a wonderful book. It's a little bit bigger than a Reader's Digest in terms of size, and it's a wealth of stories that were contributed at Linda's request from people that she had worked with, and these are first-hand, first-person experiences. They're not just stories, they're experiences. And the way Linda has put them together, they truly are messages of hope, strength, and healing. And truly the messages, the stories are meant to be shared with the general public so that we know we're not alone. That I think that's so important when you're going through a grieving process, like Linda said, whether it's a person, which of course is our most important, most of us are most important. But it could just as easily be that of a job or having to lose a home and move someplace else. And we all go through grieving, a loss of a best friend, even if they're still alive and well. Still, that is a grieving process. Let's focus on life's purpose at this point and how that interacts with grief and even our soul's journey. Those might be all three hefty subjects to put together at one time, but I see them as being closely interwoven. Our life's purpose, the grief that we go through as we live our lives each time, and our soul journey, the long-term scope for a soul journey. Talk to us about those.
Well, as Spirit has taught me, I work with both Spirit and several different masters, as well as the group Consciousness of Abraham. They are my teachers, and so they work through me, giving me knowledge about what happens as we are approaching the doorway of death, what happens as our soul steps through the doorway of death, what happens on the other side. But all of this begins when our soul first chooses the purpose for each lifetime. So as Spirit explains to me, we actually sit with God and decide what we want to accomplish in that lifetime. We decide what our purpose is, what issues we want to work on. We decide who we want to work on these issues with, because we can select from anybody in our soul group as well as those on outside of our soul group. But we usually focus. Question?
Go ahead. I thought you took a breath. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Our soul group is the group of souls that we travel from lifetime to lifetime with. And so this group of souls are the ones that help us go through our challenges, help us go through our growth, both negative challenges and positive challenges, because there are both. And so we choose these souls to help us achieve what we need to achieve in that lifetime, the lessons that we need to learn.
Soul groups don't have to be blood, do they? Can't they be people?
Oh, definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely not. You know, somebody from your soul group can be your next door neighbor. It could be your teacher. You know, it could be the partner that you marry. It comes from many different directions, because the soul group starts, as they explained to me, it's like a spiral. And so you've got your inner soul group, the ones that you may be family and loved ones. And then it spirals out to ones that are a little bit more distant, as friends and neighbors and acquaintances. But each one of these people in your soul group has the commitment with you, the soul commitment, that you are going to help them experience something in their life, and they will help you.
With all of that in mind, let's look at reincarnation and karma, because
okay.
You talked about being able to select what you do the next time. So in writing this book, do people have to believe in reincarnation to get something from it?
Not necessarily. In my book, I throw out a lot of different ideas, a lot of different perceptions, and some of them you'll be ready for, and some of them may not be your belief system. So I say at the very beginning, take from it what you need at the time. There's some things you'll stick in your pocket and pull out later as you're ready for them. And some things maybe never suit your life, but it's just a wealth of information that Spirit and Abraham have wanted to share, and you determine what your truth is at the time, because as we grow, our truth changes, because we are each able to expand our consciousness to reach out and receive more. In the beginning, I was talking about how we actually chose the life. And so in each lifetime that you come in, you choose all the people that you want to interact with from your soul group. And you choose the issues that you want to work on in this lifetime. And so when you open your heart to allow those souls to connect with you, there's going to be a very intense love or an intense emotion between you. And so when you lose that person from your life, whether it's losing that person to death or divorce, there's an intense grieving period that we go through. There is a whole phase of grieving that we go through. And if you don't understand what's going to happen when you go through this grieving period, it can actually sabotage your life and stop the progress of your life. And you just shut down and be in a state of numbness for a while.
Is that, do you think, healthy in a way, to be numb for a little while and let it all soak in?
Well, the initial numbness that God gives us when, if you've ever lost a loved one, you know that initial numbness that you go through at the time of their death. And that's a blessing from God. Because if you tried to take in all of those emotions at once, it would overwhelm you, and you could not handle that. So God gives us that initial numbness. But if you stay in that state of numbness, it will actually cause a depression, which sometimes is very difficult to get out of by yourself without help. So that's why I always suggest that you have a friend or a therapist or somebody to help you move through that grieving period so you don't get stuck. Whether it's a best friend or whether it's, you know, your minister or somebody from your church, or whether it is a professional therapist, it's just important that you talk and allow somebody to help you go through that.
Crying is part of the process. Laughter is part of the process.
Crying is a big part of the process. And often we're taught not to cry, especially men. But we're taught to hold in all of our emotions, that it's not okay to express your emotions, that crying is a big part of grieving. Because you have lost something. You're in an intense pain. Express that pain. Express those emotions. Allow yourself to cry and wash your body of all of the grief.
Why do you think it's necessary for us, let's see, how can I frame this question? I believe in cell memory. I believe that we bring back our lessons. I'm very much a believer in reincarnation and karma and that sort of thing. So why do you think it's necessary for us to keep coming back and going through in the reincarnation phases and losing and loving and lose point to where we're crying and crying and crying, sometimes over the same person, but just in a different body, same spirit. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's necessary?
Well, when I initially started working with spirit 9 years ago, the metaphysical world, the spiritual world, was really not my world. It wasn't my belief system. And so I was very new to it. And so I was very challenged when spirit started talking about reincarnation and past lives. And so I asked spirit, explain to me why, you know, about these past lives, why would we have to keep coming back? And as they explained to me is that we have agreements with souls to keep to work on the lessons together. And so, keep coming back lifetime after lifetime after lifetime with that same set of souls all working together. You may trade off. Maybe one time you're the mother and the next time you're the father or the child, or you trade off places. But there's always that intensity of love between you that draws you together and enables you to have your experiences, whether they're positive or negative. But remember, you chose your issues. You choose the people you want to experience them with. You choose them because you know these people. You've known them for many, many lifetimes. And you make a commitment with that person to learn something in this lifetime that you were not able to learn in the previous lifetime. And so you're going to help them, and they're going to help you. And I asked Spirit, well, what? I don't understand. What is it we're supposed to achieve? Where are we supposed to go with this? Why do we have to keep coming back? You know, isn't 4 or 5 or 20 or 100 lifetimes, isn't that enough? And they said that when a soul achieves unconditional love and forgiveness for everyone that has ever hurt them throughout their life, throughout all of their lifetimes, then that soul no longer has to keep coming back, because that soul has achieved the energy of God. And it can choose to stay with God at that time. But by the time, if that soul has achieved that high a vibration that it can love unconditionally, then that soul is going to want to come back as a spirit guide to help people, to help others get where it is and achieve that state of unconditional love and forgiveness.
So what's an average on people having to come back? Do you think, this is meant to be a silly question, but there's probably some truth to it. How many times do you think we have to come back? Thousands of times before we are able to get it and not have to come back if we choose not to?
Some people are very, very old souls, and you recognize them. You know, even as babies, you see that the old soul in their eyes. And so that means they've been here many, many, many lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes, thousands, is what Spirit has said to me. And I really didn't understand how that was possible for us to experience thousands of lifetimes. But when I asked Spirit to explain that to me, that how could we have 10,000 lifetimes? Well, as they explained it to me, it really sounded like the original Amway plan. Because it is a pyramid. It is. We started as they explained to me that God created a certain number of souls, and those souls came in to experience life. And as they returned to God upon their death, they each returned as three souls. that soul divided into three souls so that they could experience more in a shorter amount of time. And then as those souls returned, each one of those souls came back as three souls so that we could experience so much more in a short amount of time, touching all of those in our soul group. And they said this would speed up the process. Of course, we've been working on this for thousands and thousands of years now, so it looks like we get it, but looking around, obviously many of us haven't.
Now, you've got all these souls that are really what we call a split soul.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think would happen, or do you know what would happen, if all of those split souls come back into the original embodiment of the original soul, bringing back all the lessons? Does that happen? Does that ever happen? Or does that happen when we don't have to come back anymore?
That happens when we don't have to come back anymore. Then,
goodness, what,
when we've achieved it, then our original soul comes back as a spirit guide.
With that in mind, I'd like to mention another book, if you don't mind. Jane Roberts, who's no longer with us, wrote, I believe, back in the 70s. I apologize for not knowing the date. She wrote some little novelettes about an oversoul seven. It was an oversoul. He was a soul in training to be a guide. For those of you out there that would like to get the concepts down a little better, you can read those books in an afternoon on a weekend. Oversoul 7. There's Oversoul 7 is the first one, and I think there's Oversoul 7 and Time Machine. There are three or four of them that are entertaining and yet get the concepts out there. While I'm at it, let me give you folks some phone numbers. Just in case you want to call in and have any questions for Linda, you're more than welcome to do that. Our U.S. number is 1-877-270-8714. Let me repeat that, 877-270-8714. Canada is 1-888-284-3264, 1-888-284-3264. And while they have pen and pencil in hand, Linda, how can they find you on the website?
My website is lindadrakebooks.com.
D-R-A-K-E-S, folks. Linda, L-I-N-D-A, just traditional spellings, books.com. On there, you will also find her schedule. She's got a very, very busy schedule. She's in Central Texas in the Austin area if you want a session while she's at home. But she's also traveling the United States extensively with book tours and doing fairs of various sizes, and at the same time signing her books and doing private sessions. But I will tell you this, that there usually is a couple of months in advance unless you've got some sort of an emergency and she can fit you in. So if you call her home number and they're out of town, she and her assistant both try to keep in touch with that phone number, so they'll put you on a waiting list. So, okay, that's all for now in that area. I want to talk about the responsibilities and the difference between spirit and soul. What's your version of spirit and soul?
The soul is what God created, the way they explained it to me. So they're very, we have our soul, which is the higher self. We also refer to our soul as the higher self, but then our spirit is the energy within us that separates, is the part of us that comes to Earth to experience life here. And when that spirit returns to the original soul as it dies, then it downloads all of its knowledge into that original soul, and that knowledge is processed and is used for our spiritual growth.
Where are
our
powers?
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense. The best explanation I've heard in a long time, or read in a long time. Where are our piano-playing talents and our psychic abilities and our healing abilities and our math and the things that humans use? Where is that? Is that given to us immediately in the soul, or is that something spirit experiences as we come back? We go to God and we say, okay, this time I want to be the best heart doctor Earth has to give, or I want to be a piano prodigy at five. Is that, where is that?
As spirit explains to me, That is stored in our soul. That is part of our higher self, that it knows what our purpose is, because our spirit, the energy within us that that makes us, gives us our makes us function, it does not know, it doesn't always know our purpose. It's just taking us along our path. But our higher self, our soul, it knows what it chose. And it is the one that keeps pushing you in that direction and creating situations for you to be all that you chose to be in this lifetime.
In that particular lifetime. So if I want to be a fabulous singer next time, I can go to God and say, God, may I? And he'll grant it if he so sees that I deserve it.
If it fits into... Neither can I. But if being this amazing singer fits into the purpose you chose for that lifetime, then there's no limitation. You can be exactly what you desire.
You know, keeping that in mind, because we both work in the psychic field, and you particularly with your healing, is that something that would have been, how can I frame this? So often I hear people say, I really don't want this. I don't want this gift. It scares me. I don't want it. I can't make it go away. I keep having these dreams. When in reality, they have asked for that.
Correct? Yes, they chose that. They chose those gifts before they came into this lifetime, because often it's because, and you know as well as I do, that our gifts are not for us. Our gifts are for other people.
Right.
You know, I allow spirit to do healing work through me, but I am not the healer, and so I can't heal myself. And I know things for other people, but I often don't even know where my own glasses are.
Or where your car is?
Yes, or my car, as I lost it in the parking lot the other day. But, you know, my gifts are not for me. God gave me my gifts, and I chose my gifts. They assured me that it was through an agreement for what I could, how I could bless other people's lives, and how I could bring healing and guidance to them.
With that in mind, if somebody walks up to you and says, "I'm not psychic at all. I know I'm not psychic at all, but gosh, I really want to learn how to be psychic." So if they've not been given that gift or the memory of that gift, because I believe everybody is when they come in to a certain degree, what would you say to them? Would you go ahead and say, let me teach you? Do you think everybody is teachable when it comes to having the ability to see or to spot, to talk to spirit?
Yes. Everybody has that gift. God blesses us with this gift. And it's just some of us learn to tune into it. Some of us, you know, if we haven't been scared about it, you know, we open up our consciousness to receive. My husband always just says that, you know, I'm hearing the same thing everybody else hears, but I'm fine-tuned so that I can listen to it.
And know what to do with it.
Yes, and know what to do with it. I made that conscious choice to listen to all of the messages that I hear in my heart, in my head, in my ears. It comes in many different forms. So we all have this intuition, but it's tapping into it and agreeing to use it. As some of us have shut down and, you know, said, no, I don't want it. Go away. I said it as a child.
I tell people all the time, if you're supposed to use it, those dreams will become nightmares if you don't. Spirit will
exactly.
be very much wanting you to keep your contract and will make it uncomfortable for you if you don't use it.
Exactly. Exactly. It does.
Do you think we talk a lot about God and heaven? I think there may be people out there that don't believe in a God, either because of their ethnic or their religious belief systems. Maybe they're from a different part of the world. With that in mind, you and I both seem to think that God goes by many names. Do you think that is true?
Of course. God goes by many names because, you know, in all over the world we have so many different belief systems. But most of us believe that there is a source, some sort of a source that we didn't, you know, some people want to choose to believe that we were created from an amoeba, but God created the amoeba. So, you know, God created us one way or another, and it doesn't matter what you choose to call the source, we are a part of that source. We are like that source's finger. Did that make sense?
If there is a heaven, do you think there's a hell?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I ask Spirit the same thing. You know, with my gift, I'm a medium, so I am able to channel the messages from people on the other side. And so I wanted all the answers. So as they come through, I'm always asking all of these questions. What do you see there? What do you experience? Who's there? You know, I want all the answers. And so when, you know, as they come back, I asked, you know, did you see hell? Is hell there? And they kept saying, we saw nothing like that. We didn't even see judgment. There is no judgment here. The only judgment in heaven comes from ourselves, comes from our own spirit. And so what Spirit explained to me is when I asked Spirit, where is hell? They said, you're living in hell. What you create with your life, with your energy, the choices you make, it very often is hell. Because it is so full of pain and darkness that it looks just like hell. So we
That's different from the, pardon the expression, hell and brimstone that we are taught in some of our organized religions.
Well,
not all.
Yes, but it is truth. But they know that there was, you know, they knew that there was a heaven and there was a hell. They just didn't get the part that we created. That, you know, yes, hell can be fire and brimstone and judgment and darkness and negativity and very scary. But isn't that our lives every day if we choose to walk in the darkness?
Can be, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree with you.
If we're choosing to walk in the darkness, our life looks like that every day.
What made you finally decide that you were going to start keeping your contract? What led you to that first session? What led you to knowing that you needed to do this work on a more formal and organized path?
I was told by many people, you being one of them, that I was very gifted, and I didn't want to hear that. That sounded like some sort of an obligation to me, a responsibility that I didn't want. You know, I kept being told that I was this healer, and people kept saying this, and I kept saying, no, I just want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. But then Spirit came into my life. Yeah, I didn't want to have any responsibility there, but Spirit had came into my life, and Spirit had miraculously healed me of two very devastating illnesses. It had totally crippled my life. And I kept hearing them talk. In my prayers, I kept hearing them talk back to me. And they came with such love and such encouragement that I couldn't turn it down. And they told me that trust them, walk with them, and they would line people up at my door. And I wasn't sure if those people were going to be there for me to feed them or heal them, but as long as I didn't have to feed them, you know, I was fine with it. So,
well, it's a little bit of both, but when you heal, you are feeding their soul.
Yes, I guess I am.
Yeah,
because Spirit brings so much knowledge to them. Spirit, what I do when I work with people is I communicate with their angels and their spirit guides, and then I bring their loved ones and spirit in to give them guidance, because that's what our loved ones do. They give us guidance from the other side. They bring us support and encouragement, but we don't hear them. Often we're just stumbling through our life and we don't stop to listen.
That was another question I had for you. If you thought that Spirit tries and tries and tries and we don't hear it consciously, or we do hear it but we just don't realize that we hear it. We see them but we don't realize we see them. Do you think that to be true?
That's true. We don't realize the importance of the messages that we're receiving. And often, it's our negative belief system about ourselves, because, you know, God, when you chose the life that you wanted, you know, as I going back to the very beginning, when you chose the issues you wanted and the people you wanted, God gave you this amazing support group of angels there to heal you and protect you and nurture you, and then spirit guides to be your teachers and to give you guidance all the way through your life, and then, of course, your loved ones in spirit to assist you, and that is all of your support group. But we don't realize how very important they are to our life, because throughout our life, most of us, I know I did, most of us just went and did our own thing. We didn't stop and listen. We did our prayer and we just jumped up and went on. We didn't listen for the answers. We didn't listen for the guidance. And so now that I have found out that I have all this huge support group, man, I put them to work. I tell them, this is what I'm dealing with. I need some answers here. I need some guidance. They don't tell you what to do, but they give you the information so that you can make the best decision. They're your cheerleaders. They cheer you on. They encourage you to move forward with your life. Don't just sit there and complain about it. You know, create what you want.
So you're looking at severe depression. Let's say it's chemical depression.
Mm-hmm.
Our body doesn't function right. So that was something that we invited into our life to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
An illness, a disfigurement, what some people call a handicap, but others are calling them just an obstacle these days. All of that is something to learn from.
Of course it is. Look at the challenges you create when you take on that type of an illness. Look at what you can teach others through that illness, because if you're experiencing that, your life touches many, many lives around you. So what are you teaching them? You know, are you enabling them to open their heart and show you compassion? Are you teaching them? What lessons are you challenging them with?
So you're also including, or may I assume, and I shouldn't do that, that you're also including criminal acts and people who murder and molest and all that sort of thing. Both the victim and the perpetrator, they're also learning individually, but they're also teaching other people in the process, correct?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I had a difficult time with that. I admit that, you know, when I was writing this and they kept talking about, you know, karma, and Spirit kept talking about how we create our own karma and then we have to heal that karma through, you know, you created karma with a certain person and then you have to heal that karma, whether that karma is positive or negative. And so I wanted to know, well, when I go to heaven, surely those people that murdered or that were mass murderers or, you know, thieves and all of these dark people, surely they're not there in heaven with me. And the response that I received from Spirit is, remember, God does not judge. God loves unconditionally. We created the karma. We have to heal the karma. That is our responsibility. And
no, it's
so judgment.
I'm sorry.
What?
Go ahead.
No,
judgment. Judgment what?
You know, the judgment that we hold on them is just as dark as the act that they did.
Ooh, I like that statement. Say that again. Say that again.
The judgment that we hold on others is just as dark as the negative act that person has done, has created.
I love a chapter, Linda, in one of your books.
Oh, it is. It's in the second book. There's a whole chapter on that one.
Great. That is great. Well,
because we're quick to judge others. We're quick to judge others, but we don't look at what we've created.
My problem with some of the Hitlers of the world, and forgive me those of you who appreciate Hitler, and in my way, I appreciate what he taught us or tried to teach us, because I really look at people like him as being, we're supposed to learn from his actions. We're not supposed to let those kind of events happen again, and yet they keep happening in the world. I apologize, I can't say the name right, but Africa's a perfect example of people just, thousands of people at one time being wiped out. You would think that once we see something as horrible as what happened during World War II under any name, we wouldn't allow it to happen again as a world, and yet we do. How does spirit explain that? Why do we have to keep learning these lessons? Why?
Because
you can't tell me there's not some sort of cell memory that says, okay, here we go again. We're not going to let this happen, and yet it does.
But if it doesn't happen to you, you don't take it to heart. You don't learn the lesson if it happened to somebody else. You go, oh, that's bad, that's bad. I feel so sorry for those people. But if it didn't touch your life, then you allow it to happen again. You allow history to repeat itself.
See, that's just it. That's it right there. So many people around the world are aware of the losses, World War II, for example, just because it's easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Then why aren't more people, descendants of those people, knowledgeable people about history, why aren't those people stepping up and saying, look, you really don't have to experience this. We've already been there. How do we know that those people that have been killed or are going to be killed didn't already go through that experience? Is it possible that maybe they were the perpetrators the first time around and now this is their karma?
That is what karma is. That's how we heal our karma of experiencing what we created.
There you go, world. Speaking of the world, U.S., 1-877-270-8714. Canada, 888-284-3264. Our guest this evening is Linda Drake. She is the writer of Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, Death, Grief, and Communicating with the Loved Ones in Spirit. Do you think there's a time when spirit doesn't want to talk to us? Do you think there's a time when maybe Daddy died and he was ticked off when he died and we let him die or we pulled the plug and he's not going to talk to us?
Definitely not. Definitely not. They always want to come back and talk to us because they have such intense love for us, whether they were able to express it when they were here or not. That soul has intense love for the ones that it's left behind. So I always hear them come across, but they never come across with judgment. They don't take any negativity with them. They dump it here. They leave. They check it at the door. No, they check it at the door. They don't take it across with them because when they come back like channeling this unconditional love from God to us. Now, often I do a lot of work. You know, I've worked with a lot of people as they're crossing over, and so I observe, you know, their spirit out of their body, even while their body is working its way through the process of death. I observe the spirit, not disconnected from the body, but outside of the body. It appears like a cloud or a puff of smoke. And I watch that spirit, and as the body takes its last breath, that spirit just goes poof, and it's gone. But within moments, I will see a spirit form back in the room with us. There is no time on the other side. So within moments, that spirit has made its transition and has been given a spirit body to function in here. And it comes back to embrace its loved ones, embrace the family here that it's left behind, and help them go through the challenge of their grief. But I'll see it standing right there in the room with us.
I know
it happens that fast.
Yes, within minutes. She passed in the hospital and went home with us and
mm-hmm.
appeared that evening in a body that I remembered to be about 35, 40 years old. That must have been her favorite time of life, this lifetime. It was just that quick.
If the physical body dies at an older age, normally they come back around the age of 30, 35, right around in there, where they felt their strongest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's usually the form that they will take.
Speaking of dying.
And they always come back very healthy looking.
Yes, just vibrant. Yeah.
Yes.
Very full of color and no wrinkles and that sort of thing.
Yeah, if God gave you your choice of how you want to look, would you come back with the old body or a nice young one?
Actually, I think I hit probably in my 40s. That's when I felt as strong. talk about suicide and accidents, quote unquote.
Okay. Well, the morning that Spirit announced that we were going to write about suicide, I said, no, I don't think so. And they said, no, start writing. We're going to write a chapter on suicide. And I said, no, I've lost somebody I love to suicide, and I haven't got over that pain yet. I'm still angry that they left. And Spirit told me to get over it, and we're going to write. And they ended up writing the most beautiful chapter about suicide. Now, that's hard to believe, a beautiful chapter about suicide. But the way they said that people needed to know the truth. And as they began writing, I said, ooh, you're going to step on some toes here, because this is not what our religious beliefs are. And they said, people need to know the truth. They need to know where these souls go when they commit suicide, what happens, what their journey looks like. And so they wrote this beautiful chapter about the fact that if somebody's life is so difficult, so hard for them that they cannot endure another day of life here on earth, they're living in hell. And so God opens the doorway for them. What?
Is that what they created with God?
Yes. That's part of their journey.
Okay.
That's part of their journey. It's part of what they chose to, all of the issues that they chose to experience in this lifetime and how they started playing them out, the choices they made to play these out, because we have choices on how we play out our issues. We can either take the hard road or the easier road, but most of us, we like to go down that hard road, but sometimes they take on so much in a lifetime that they just can't endure it, whether it's mental illness or the, you know, challenges of a body that doesn't work for them, or challenges of, you know, just situations that are too overwhelming for them that they can't handle. And so if life is just so devastating for them, God will take them home. Nobody dies without God's permission and his awareness, because we chose, as Spirit explains to me, we chose the date of our birth and the approximate date of our death. And then we have windows along the way that, you know, if our physical body can no longer function, that we can leave through these windows. But with suicide, because we made a contract with God, and God expects us to fulfill that contract or to do the best job we can. So if we are choosing to take our own life, then we have to, our soul has to go to God and negotiate that, and get God's permission to leave. Often, you know, people try to commit suicide multiple times, and God will say, no, it's not your time. I'm going to give you another chance. Let's see if you can work this out. Let's see if you can achieve what you need to achieve before you come home. If he sees that we can't do that, then God will take us home. He'll open his arms to us, and he'll take us home. Because life is just too difficult.
It's precious, but yes, at times very difficult. I've always looked at suicide as being, yes, for the spirit that's leaving, absolutely. Lessons learned there, contracts kept. But suicide has always seemed to me to be more lessons for the living, lessons for, in a different way than just a regular natural, quote-unquote, death, whatever natural is. But suicide is such a unique lesson. To me, it takes a certain amount of bravery to take one's own life, regardless of how you do it. It's still an action that's been decided and you carry forth. But I've always felt like the parents, if they're living, the friends, the family, what they go through after a suicide is such a massive amount of lessons that person has left behind. And I've often wondered if they realized that they were teaching those lessons. Do you think they realize they're teaching those lessons?
The human consciousness did not realize it, but the soul did.
Okay.
I asked the same question, and they said yes. The soul understood the lessons that would be learned by those left behind, but the human consciousness is just in such intense pain that all they want is out. And often, you know, seldom do they you know, I've talked to souls that, you know, committed suicide. You know, they loved the ones left behind, but their pain was so intense. If you've ever been in a very, very intense pain, you can't think rationally when you go through a prolonged period of intense pain. And so they have thought it through enough to take the steps to prepare for their death, to actually make it happen. One lady emailed me from South Africa, and her ex-husband had built a guillotine. Now, that's really planning out your death, but he was unable to function in life. But he wanted to take his life in such a way that there would be no mistake. But he built
no
a
error.
Guillotine. Yeah, no room for error here. But he planned out that part of his journey. Because
like
he knew he had to go home. I'm sorry?
Such courage.
Oh, it
and
does?
So with all
people
of
think
the
suicide is the chicken way out. That it's the coward's way out. No, no. It does take courage to take your own life.
Well, I think some people think it's, a lot of people think it's the coward's way out because you're not facing life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
life is so difficult for so many who don't commit suicide.
But we have to understand.
I have a question for you, Linda.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Come on. Nobody let us know you were there. I'm sorry. Come on in.
Well, here's my question. Linda, could you talk about children who die and babies in particular?
Oh, gosh. If you have the opportunity to read my book, there are some beautiful, beautiful stories in my book about the loss of children. Now, one child, I'll very quickly tell the story, but it's such an amazing story. A gentleman came to me, and my name gets passed around, and he'd been told that he was a basketball player, and he'd been told that I was a healer, and he had injured his hip. So he came to me to have me fix his hip. And when he walked in, I looked at him and I said, "There's a child with you, a child in spirit." And he didn't know what to think because this was not his world. So I caught him off guard and I said, there's this child here. And he talks about thanking you for allowing him to fulfill his purpose. As I said, we all have a purpose in our life. And so what had happened was, I'll cut the story short. Please get my book. You'll love it. As it talks about this story, but this child had chosen to come in with many, many different illnesses, and when she was only 5 months pregnant, her doctor diagnosed the child as Down syndrome, and then every time they went to the doctor, there was another diagnosis for a more difficult disease that it was experiencing. Eventually the doctors told her there was no way this child could live because it had too many different problems. And so the child was born, and the child lived for 3 months. Well, as the child explained to me from the other side, that was its purpose. It said that it knew, it chose the parents that it needed to come into to be able to achieve its life purpose. Its life purpose, it said, was it had been a doctor in a previous lifetime, and it needed to come in to this lifetime with many illnesses so that the doctors could study it and learn about these illnesses so that other children did not have to die from these illnesses. And so because its parents loved it so much that they chose to have the child despite all of the handicaps that it was going to have, the baby was allowed to live for 3 months. And doctors came from all over the United States to study it. It had multiple surgeries as they worked through all the different challenges that it had. And then it was finally had to leave. And so that child came in with this man. The spirit came in, and he thanked his father for allowing him to fulfill his purpose. And then he said, I'm coming back, though. I'm coming back that now my body is healthy, and I can come back. And the man told me that his wife had just found out she was pregnant.
All right.
And this was only months.
Incredible.
This was only months after the child had died, but he was ready to come back.
Would you say in your experience that even children who are lost prior to birth, that similar circumstances would be the case? Or?
Yes. Whether the child is actually born or whether it dies in while in the womb, that child had a purpose. And that child actually, that soul of the child actually makes the decision of whether or not it wants to maintain that body. Sometimes the body is just not strong enough for what that child, for what that spirit wants to do in that lifetime. And so the spirit will step back and wait for another body.
Okay, well, I just wanted to open up that subject. I felt that there would be many others besides me that would be kind of near and dear to my heart.
Oh, and you know what? People do not know how to deal with. People don't know how to deal with the loss of a baby through miscarriage. They don't. Those people surrounding the parents, they don't know how to deal with that. And I didn't realize how difficult it was until my daughter miscarried, and you know, people just didn't know how to react to her, to them, to their loss. Because for the parents, whether that child was, you know, in the womb for, you know, 6 weeks or, you know, 9 months, that child was real to them. And that the energy of that child was real. And their love was real and their dreams for that child were real. And so that loss is quite intense, and often we don't know how to go through that grieving process.
What to say and how to react. We sure don't.
Right.
As humans, we don't.
No,
Carl,
we don't.
I hate to cut you short. I thank you very much for your time and your energy and wonderful questions. I hope you'll continue to listen in occasionally, and by all means, get Linda's book. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. Good
thank
night.
You very much.
Linda, we're going to have to wrap it up. I am so sorry that we have to do that. We're just getting started. Really, in my opinion, will you come back and visit with us in a couple of months? Let us know how your tour is going and when maybe you've talked your publisher into getting the other book out sooner.
I would love to. I'd love to. And I just encourage your listeners to get my book. It's very easy to get. You can get it at Barnes. At any of the bookstores can order it for you if they don't have it in stock. You can order it from my website. You can order it from Amazon.com. So I encourage you to get my book. It is definitely the instruction book for life, death, and moving forward with your life beyond death.
Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, Death, Grief, and Communicating with the Loved Ones in Spirit by Linda Drake. You can find her again on her website, LindaDrakeBooks, that's with an S, .com. It's a neat website, and on there you will also find her schedule for, about the next 6 months or so, maybe longer?
Yes.
Where will you be this coming weekend? Tell everybody where you'll be this coming weekend.
This coming weekend I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas. Several book signings in that area. Then I'm going to be in the Phoenix area for the whole month of June. I am on the I'm on the East Coast all of October. Multiple places in between. So, Dallas.
Is it Dallas or is it one of the communities around Dallas?
It's several. Well, I've got three different book signings around Dallas. So,
are they Barnes & Noble?
Chicago,
or?
Barnes & Noble, yes. And then,
Yes,
Barnes & Noble. And then I'm in San Diego and Chicago and, I don't even remember my schedule now. But I'm all up and down the East Coast through the month of October. So, and in Pennsylvania in October. So please look at my website for my schedule.
Absolutely, folks. Let me tell you real quick that Elka will be with us next week about runes, R-U-N-E-S. You can find her at www.runekenning.com/ if you want to check it out before next week. In the meantime, thank you so much, Linda, for being with us, and by all means, be safe. Thank you very, very much for being with us. We'll talk again, hopefully, in about 3 or 4 months and catch up with you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night, everybody. Be safe.